Friends, I don't know how you think you're going to get to heaven. How do you think you're going to get to heaven? How do you think you're going to meet the coming King? Is it in your own righteousness, what you've done, what I've done, what my religion is? It's what Jesus has done. And I just want to encourage you this morning, friends, as I encourage myself in the precious word of God. This is, I trust, going to be a simple message, but I'm praying that the Lord in his grace and in his mercy will quicken it to us so that we go on in the fight, not in our own strength, as we heard. The battle belongs to the Lord. Amen. But it's all because of what Jesus has done. But because of what Jesus has done for you, what Jesus has done for me in eternity past, he wants us to be those living stones being built up for his glory. Hallelujah. And to make an effective impact and contribution in our neighbourhood, in our families, in our schools, in our colleges, around town. Friends, I cannot, and I'm sorry if I keep on about this, but it so touched me, the people of God yesterday. Just being with the people of God amongst strangers. Now, friends, we are strangers and pilgrims. We are sojourners here below. This isn't our home. I said, how do you think you're going to get to heaven? Heaven beckons each and every one of us. Eternity can be very, very near. We hear daily, I just switched on CFAX this morning just to get the headlines. And I think every, on the front page, on the home page, the seven items were all about violence, terrorism, and so on. And this is a threat to us. But friends, those who are in Christ are safe and secure. But we've got a message of hope. And we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've just been singing, soon, very soon, the King is coming. Hallelujah. I want to be ready. I want to take my place with him in glory. But I know that there's only one way possible, as has been mentioned just now. It's what Jesus Christ has done. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. And I just want us to center the next 15 or so minutes on Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's the Lamb of glory. We turn with me to Romans to begin with, talking about the imputed righteousness. I don't know if I can have a bit more because I can't, my voice won't, without it crackling. I leave it to you experts. I'm not an expert on PA. You all know that. I trip over the wires, I don't. The imputed righteousness of Christ. And we're going to look at a few verses to begin with from Romans chapter 4. They are on the screen. I'm so thankful, friends, that we can read the precious word of God. Romans 4, verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham our father is found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. But what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Let me just pause for a moment, friends, because many of us are going through the New Testament, several of us are, and we will have probably by now completed the book of James. And there's the contrast between works and faith. And no way does James contradict what Peter says. No way does James contradict what the Apostle Paul says. No way does James contradict what our Lord Jesus Christ says. We're saved by grace. We're saved through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as evidence of that faith, We do works that are pleasing to the Lord. We serve Jesus. We serve one another. Even in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew's Gospel, for example, Jesus says, look, let the people, those who are alien, not just those who are out of Christ, see your good works so that they glorify God. And it's not boasting, friends. It should be done in the Spirit. Is Christ enabling us? Let there be no boasting in what we do. It's all of the Lord. Verse 5. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. I love that. You're blessed. Your sins are covered. You're blessed. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. We'll be looking very briefly at that word impute in a moment. There's a beautiful verse in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. And to be found in him, not having our own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Be found in him. He's our boast. It's in him I live. It's in him I move. It's in him I have my being. So what in this great world does the word impute mean? We've read it two or three times in Romans chapter 4. In verse 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. But it means to pass over. It means to pass over. To pass over your sin. To count it over. It's to pass to another account. It means it passes to another account. What does it mean? Friends, this is precious. It means that Jesus places his righteousness, his goodness, his love, his grace upon our record when we trust upon him for salvation. There's an exchange takes place. And in chapter 3, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. What a wonderful truth. What a beautiful truth. You see, friends, Abraham was not saved by good works. He wasn't saved by good works. But rather, he believed God. He trusted in God. And if you will, Christ's perfection was imputed, it was placed on Abraham. The perfection of the Lord was placed on Abraham because Abraham dared to believe God. He dared to trust God. He dared to leave go of this world. He dared to look forward because he knew God was a great God. God could be trusted. Hallelujah. So, Christ's perfection, his beauty, his love, his grace, his holiness was placed on Abraham's record in heaven. And he was viewed as having the righteousness of the Lord. Hey, what a saviour! And I believe that as Abraham, by faith, looked down through the ages, he beheld the Messiah. The Messiah who was to save his people from their sins. Or we read in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it for righteousness." He counted it for righteousness. He counted it to him for righteousness. Why was Abraham able to simply believe that God, in place of merit, in place of good works, why was Abraham simply to believe God? But instead of good works, instead of meritorious things, that he could just trust God. Well, friends, it is simply because Jesus Christ paid the penalty for mankind's sins. I don't wish to be in any way sectarian or anything offensive, but the many who came here yesterday who is yet blinded by captivity, blinded by Satan, the light has still not been removed. They're still, yes, in bondage. But I believe Christ loves them. And I believe the Lord wants to do an exchange, taking them out of darkness into his marvellous light. We've got tremendous opportunities, friends. We have. You see, Abraham could not please God in his own self-righteousness, nor can we. We look up at Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 to 10. Let's read the verse together. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." Another scripture which is precious to you is Titus chapter 3. "Remind them to be subject to rulers," speak it out, "and authorities, to obey, to be for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Saviour toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men." The righteousness of the Lord being worked in and through us that produces the works that are pleasing to God. Hallelujah. This is the result of salvation. Hallelujah. No matter how much good we may do here on earth, see, friends, in our flesh, our sins are still recorded. So our sins must be dealt with. And this is why, as we just read, that Jesus came to pay the price for our sins with his own precious, precious blood. There's a beautiful reading. "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. And focus, we need his righteousness. We need his righteousness. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. That is the imputed exchange of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are saved by Jesus' righteousness through faith. So in Romans chapter 4 and verse 8 we read, blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Friends, not only was Christ's righteousness imputed, counted to Abraham's record, but Abraham's sinful record was imputed to Christ. Literally, Jesus died as sin for us and died a sinner's death. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That calls forth a hearty amen. Amen. And then we read concerning Abraham, continuing in chapter 4 and verse 22. Chapter 4 and verse 22 of Romans. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him. But also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offences, and was raised because of our justification. I love these words. It's a beautiful passage of Scripture, friends, isn't it? Beautiful passage of Scripture, teaching that God is willing, very, very willing, to impute Christ's righteousness to us as well. Just as he did to Abraham. Yes, in 2016. If we just simply put our trust, believe on the Lord. He who knew no sin became a sin, that we who knew no righteousness could be made the righteousness of God in Christ. What a fantastic truth. I hope you're living in it, friends. If you're not, let's pray for each other afterwards. Let's minister to one another that we may have that revelation even this morning, that God so longs to do that exchange in us. He longs to do it. He longs to do it. To think that Jesus would actually bear our sins upon himself. Why would he do it? Because of such love. He sacrificed his precious blood for our sins. We are not worthy. We are not worthy. All of the worth belongs to him. And thankfully, are you not thankful? Thankfully, God sees beyond our faults through his love. He saw our need. He's seen our need. But God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you realize that you will miss the mark if you reject Jesus Christ as your Saviour? You'll miss it. Eternal life, as we read earlier, is a free gift. Blessed be his name, which anyone may receive by simply acknowledging their own guilt, their own sin, their own foolishness, their own pride, and coming to the Lord in faith. It is by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, that we are saved, so that God the Father views the righteousness of Christ, which is imputed to us, unto us, at salvation. So again, friends, I ask the question, do you really, really, really want to be a friend of God? Has that exchange taken place? It is when you believe in Jesus as your Saviour and you are born again of the Holy Spirit. Jesus earnestly, eagerly wants to impute your sin to his record and impute his righteousness to your record. What an exchange. You go around Sainsbury's, Tesco, Waitrose, Morrison's, Hodgins, free offer. Buy this one, you get another one free. Of course you don't, it's rubbish. You're paying for it. There's nought free except the precious blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Something to be really thankful for and jump up and down in your, on your chairs, if you will. Just excuse me this morning. All we need to do, friends, is admit our guilty condition before the Lord. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. And believe that Jesus died, he was buried, and he arose again for our sins. Hallelujah. Believe the gospel. Believe on the gospel. Believe upon the Son of God who took away your sins with his shed blood that was shed at Calvary. We go to heaven. Those of you who are at the Answers in Prophecy a week ago Saturday heard perhaps a feeble message, but I pray it was anointed by the Lord, on what happens to the believer once they pass this life, then to paradise, into heaven. It is on the web. Do listen to the sermon. We go to heaven because we trust what Christ has done for us. Not because of what we can do for him, what he's done for us. You see, as we was reminded in the prayer a little earlier, our best righteousness is but filthy works. It's no good before the Lord. Just filth, Isaiah 64, verse 6. We need his righteousness. That is Christ imputed righteousness. How foolish, friends, today. Billions and billions of unsaved religious people are heading for the lake of fire. You know, the devil's favorite activity is to make an unsaved person feel religious. Religion is the worst thing that has happened to this world, because Satan uses it to blind men. Friend, everything is wrong. You've never been born again. No amount of personal effort can undo our sins. I've been mentioning that several of us have gone through James or going through James. There's a verse in chapter 2, verse 10, that teaches us that to commit even one sin is to become guilty in all in God's sight. Because even one sin makes us unfit for the kingdom of God. But that is why God sent his only begotten Son into the world to pay for our sins by his death, burial and resurrection. Hallelujah! There's hope for all. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Worship the King of Kings. And if you receive what Christ has done, paid for your sins, you are saved. Christ's righteousness has been imputed, placed upon your record, and your sins have been placed upon Christ at Calvary. This is biblical salvation. It's true, it's not liberal salvation, it's biblical salvation. Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe, because we owed a debt of sin that we could not pay. The Lamb of God was crucified for you and for me, his blood shed for our sins, and it is paid in full. Amen. Amen. Eternal life is based on the promises of God. Let me conclude. There's only two religions in the world. What are they? Oh, you won't guess it, but I've got it. There's good answers. You can all give me a good answer. There's only two religions in this world. Do and done. Do and done. Most religions teach that to get to heaven, you must do this and do that. Those who come knocking on your door, do this, do that, you step up a ladder, step up a rung on the ladder. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, which we in this fellowship firmly believe in, we hang on to it because it is the true gospel, simply says, it is done. It is done! Jesus has paid for our sins by his precious blood. What a precious assurance to know that Jesus has placed, that God has placed Christ's righteousness upon us and has laid our sins upon his Son. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall you not with him freely give us all things? Believe it. How will he not freely give you all things because of your belief and trust in the Lord Jesus? And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. In him is no sin. What an awesome God. May the Lord help us to meditate on these precious words. And so if you want to pray for each other, if you just want to kneel at the altar, you know what I mean, figuratively, please do so. But I just want us to be blessed and have that assurance that that exchange has taken place. Because when you're living in the light of that, speaking to your neighbours, speaking to others, though it will be a battle and some will reject you, to others it will be a sweet smell and they will believe. Time is short, friends. Eternity beckons. God is with you. Amen.